Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Federal Bank Limited earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shyam Srinivasan. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and thank you all for dialing in. This is a call at very short notice. The objective of today's call, many may wonder what is the reason for a call today and what is the uncharacteristic nature of a call suddenly. Over the last 1 week, as all of us know, Kerala has had unprecedented rains and floods and the consequence of extreme disruption to both lives and businesses. And over the last 2 days after our sort of comeback, we have been in a different form flooded with many queries and calls by interested parties, stakeholders, investors, analysts. As also there is some malicious negative media floating around. We debated long and hard whether it should just be a release or it should be a Q&A with a short prelude by me. So we have made this decision to share facts and give everybody clarity, all our interested stakeholders, and which is why we sought out. We did not want to do bilateral communication, which may produce some information arbitrage. So I am happy that all of you have taken the effort to dial in. So let me just share some facts and clarify any queries that any of you may have. And we are focusing this call exclusively on the consequences of the Kerala flood and some facts around that. Our usual call at the end of every call after the every quarter after the results will be the more informative and instructive call on the business performance and the consequence of our various initiatives. So let me just focus my attention on the most recent developments. As everybody knows, we have 593 branches in Kerala, and I'm extremely happy that today we are fully functional, barring a few branches which have been physically damaged in certain areas on account of the rain. And even they are working from nearby premises or branches not far away from there so that the customer experience is addressed well. So one, branches are back in business. Two, our data center is fully functional. Our headquarters of the bank is in Alua. Our data center and many of our technology-related principal functions are in Alua. Alua was one of the centers that were terribly affected. It is on the banks of the river and downstream to the Idukki Dam. So as a consequence, during the peak of the flood, Alua did face significant damage as a location. But waters have receded. People have started getting back to normal lives. There has been disruption for individuals who live there, which includes me and many of our team members. And therefore, they've all had to relocate to different locations. And then over the next 2-3 weeks, work around repairing homes and getting furniture back and the personal disruptions have to be handled. Our head office building is in Alua. Water was up to a particular level, but we are happy that has receded and effective tonight. But tomorrow being a holiday, from Thursday, we will all be back to work in our Alua headquarters, fully functional. So one message is branches are fully functional, our technology capabilities are now back and fully functional. And even more importantly, all our employees are back and safe, including their families, and there has been no untoward incident, which is great. Yes, everybody has had to have some physical or financial challenges, which will be addressed. And the level of effort by many of our colleagues to help out and save one another has been exceptional. Now, turning to the overall business structure of the bank, because on many occasions, people have started bandying around numbers of 45% of the business in Kerala, and therefore there are consequences that are enormous. Let me just share some of the numbers and place as facts. First, 26,000 crores is the credit extension in Kerala for our retail, SME and mid-market clients, including agri. and about 6,000 odd crores is the corporate and government. So about 32,000 crores out of our 94,000 crores of credit is in Kerala. And the dimensioning that we have done of this 26,000 crores, which is retail, micro, small, agri, and medium-sized businesses, the large seven cities of Kerala remain completely unaffected. In fact, we've all moved to our head office in Marine Drive in Ernakulam. It almost looks like there was no event that happened 20 kilometers away. So we live in a place where this is fairly insulated and less affected by all these developments. Similar situation would be in Trivandrum, Kottayam, Kollam, Trichu. So all the main seven cities and towns are Calicut, are not significantly impacted. So the parts of the business that are in the districts or the locations that have been ravaged by the flood, we have about 60 branches in this catchment of 7 to 8 locations. These 60 branches are smaller branches, relatively rural and micro in nature, and their credit exposure through these branches in and around is about 1,500 crores. So the total picture is 25,000 crores, 26,000 crores of retail, SME, agri and business banking in the 593 branches of Kerala. About 60 branches are in the most affected territories, and they have a credit exposure of about 1,500 crores. And as you know, the large part of the book is secured, and the agri businesses have already got their necessary dispensation through the SLBC process with existing RBI guidelines. Now, turning to the deposit side of the bank, we have about 65% of the bank's deposits in Kerala. That's about 75,000 crores. And given the current situation, given Onam, given the second half festival season, normally the flow inflow increases during NR remittances, and the current situation of rupee being where it is and the situation of Kerala needing more support, maybe the remittances will increase substantially. So broadly, while we are not diminishing the challenges, we are not understating the problems that the individuals of the state will have. From a commercial business lens, we are not significantly raising any alert. We are putting in all our initiatives to make sure business continuity is happening and the necessary approvals and necessary efforts to ensuring credit is well managed continues. That said, will there be implications on credit in certain areas, in retail, in rural, in semi and micro? We may see. And in a normal quarter, if we see about 150, 160, 170 crores of slippages in these businesses, that may see 20-30% increase in the near 2 to 3 quarters. This is only from Kerala. So broadly, this is the picture as we see, as we speak today. We are back in business. There have been some messages floating around which we got calls, and I thought it's appropriate to explain to everybody that 270 branches of Federal Bank are drowned and gold packets are missing, and so on and so forth. Let me reassure, not even one gold packet is missing, not even one branch is disappearing. Everything is the way it is. Some physically 5 branches have been very damaged, and they were really in the medley of the flood, and they are being restored. In some instances, we may not even restore it in that place. We may decide to do differently. So in short, these are the principal updates I wanted to share. What happens as a consequence of all this? Will there be incremental consumer demand? I believe yes. Will there be a lot of reconstruction? We believe yes. Will there be flood funds coming in? We believe yes. Will there be near-term disruption of people being focusing on their restoring their personal lives and personal homes? Yes. But I think on the flow, the incremental business of the bank, yet 75-80% of our credit is outside Kerala. And the non-Kerala deposit book is growing 26-28%. So we believe the bank is well positioned to ensure that we are not dramatically disturbed or affected by the consequences that have happened. I don't want to undermine the physical challenges that many people are facing, but that is a humanitarian aspect and less a commercial aspect. So broadly, these are the key points I wanted to share. So we don't have a big story to tell. We just wanted to place these facts and dispel any possible misconceptions that may be there. And we are happy, my entire senior team is there, but I'm happy to address any questions, but request that we focus the conversation only to the Kerala-related matters. So, operator, you may open it for Q&A.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Chirag Shah from IDFC Bank. Please go ahead.
Sir, you mentioned that some of the branches have been affected badly. I believe the number was 60. Can you tell us when you say the branches were affected, has it impacted the safe deposit boxes, places where you have kept all the collaterals that you have collected, things like that, or maybe documents of mortgages or anything of that sort?
When I said 60 branches, that is in the severely affected territories. The branches are back in work. I said that the only 5 branches are physically damaged, where the roofs are caved in or the entrance itself is jammed and inaccessible because of the roads leading up to that. So the physical damage in the physical premises or leading up to it is 5. The 60 branches are in affected territories. The branches that are opened are out of our 193 in Kerala. As of last evening, 557 were fully functional. Today, another 10 branches are fully functional. The non-functionality is only because the UPS is not up or the power has not come to that area. There is not even one branch that has suffered on account of documents missing or documents disappearing or any such issues.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Chetan Vadia from VKL. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity. My question is on the for the credit growth, do you think the next couple of quarters will have some kind of an impact in terms of growth? And do you think now that we know that Kerala may take some time, the non-Kerala business will have to be pushed a little more to kind of compensate for the growth that may not come from Kerala?
Our belief is, of course, all these are too early to comment. We are just literally in revival mode. Our belief is Kerala at worst will have 30-day impact. After that, growth may increase. Because even I have had to go and buy a washing machine and a TV. So you will see massive consumption required. It's going to be consumption positive and construction positive. Question is how fast? And therefore, I can't quite comment on that. But surely, you will see demand increase because there is a natural requirement that is there because most people's homes need some kind of refurbishment. The non-Kerala growth, yes, we would certainly seek them to do much higher, but I think these are mutually exclusive. Kerala and non-Kerala, we are not rationing the growth. The opportunity of non-Kerala remains and will continue to. If they can carry more load, even better. But I would say these are mutually exclusive.
Okay, just
but the Kerala growth by itself, we do believe after the normal sort of cleaning up the homes and getting life back, I am not being facetious in this call when I say there are 9 people in my room with me. All of us have had to buy at least 3 pieces of clothing, 1 TV, 1 fridge and 1 washing machine back. I am not being facetious in saying that.
And just one last question. Are you seeing an early sign of heavy deposit withdrawals from the people within Kerala for all the purposes?
At this juncture, no. But it also coincides with the Onam festivity. Usually it would have been high. Given the somber nature of the situation, the withdrawals haven't happened. The inflows usually at this time are the highest. By today, tomorrow, we will know because the rupee at where it is, the situation in Kerala demands more inflows. And Onam is the time when the maximum inflows come and maximum spends happen. That spends may happen differently. Inflows will happen this week.
All right. That's it from my side. All the best to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Kaushik Poddar from KB Capital. Please go ahead.
Shyam, what is the exposure of SME in Kerala, SME and retail in Kerala? Is it 25,000?
Our total total exposure in Kerala of SME, agri and retail is 24,486 crores.
Okay, okay. And you also said that something like the normal slippage is around 160 crores from Kerala. So that will increase by around 20%. That's what you were saying. I don't say instead of 160 crores.
That is our estimation at this juncture. We took last 8 quarters, looked at the Kerala exposure, including some spike up which was there in education loans 2 quarters back.
Right.
And we normalized it. Between 160 and 180 crores is the retail SME agri exposure in slippages per quarter over the last 8 quarters.
Okay.
Our forecast for the remaining quarters normally would have been there or around slightly improving because the portfolio had seen no stress.
Okay.
We believe that given the severely affected areas, which I pointed out is about 1,500 crores is the severely affected areas in those 60 branches territory which I spoke of.
Yes.
We did some sensitivity analysis on what may be. We think that could produce about 60 to 70 crores of slippages per quarter. That's the number I'm adding to the 160, 180 crores normally.
Okay. And right now, you are sticking to your guidance of total stressed asset being at 1.7% at the end of the year, at the end of the fiscal year?
Yeah, we are at this point, our total stressed asset is 2%.
Yes.
And
yeah,
we are expecting that number to come to 1.7 to 1.8.
Right.
Barring a dramatic deterioration of the forecast I just gave you, we think right, in that zone it should be.
Okay, and I mean, whatever your forecasting and something, if there is a deviation from this kind of forecast, will you be able to come up and give a public statement, say in 1 month something? By 1 month, you'll be in a position to tell us that whether whatever forecast you're giving.
Our next data point and next update will be in October 3rd week when we do our results announcement.
Okay.
I think by then we'll have a better picture of the entire play, how it's playing out.
Okay.
Normally we would have held back this call. We did this call after deliberating within. There are some people who have asked, why are you doing this call? What incremental information do you have?
Right.
Equally, there are people who have said that you're not sharing adequately or share with me. We thought it is fair to share it widely.
Okay. Okay. So when you announce the second quarter number, you'll be having a fair idea of what kind of losses you are looking at.
We will give a more nuanced input on this.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Shyam.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of N. Samraj from Dwarka Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Mr. Shamsundaran, thank you for holding this call. It just shows the I commend the confidence of the management and the openness that you have shown. And especially after malicious rumors that were floating on the social media, this was really called for. And once again, I thank you for this.
Now, thank you so much.
What I'm now putting to you and to the forum at large is something, you know, which escapes the nitty-gritty of, you know, the percentages and all on books and the losses, NIMs, etc. What I'm saying is, on Thursday and Friday, when the crack took place in the financial institutions exposed to Kerala especially, South Indian Bank, which has 51% of loan book over there, it actually rose on Thursday, and on Friday it fell a little bit, giving a net loss of just half to 1%. Whereas our bank, which is having only a 31% book exposure to Kerala, has fallen 9%. So is this anything malicious? Is this not an anomalous arithmetic which is taking place? So this is a forum I'm putting to all the analysts, yourself, and to the listeners. And explain me the arithmetic, please, if you could.
Personally, I can't answer that. We live in constant wonder why we are being punished. We have resolved that performance is the only tool that we have to answer this. So I would be most instructed and educated if wiser people on the call or you know, more important shareholders can advise me. We will be happy to do stuff that will improve the situation. None of us like to be in the position of seeing 10% fall for almost no fault of ours. But I have no other explanations to offer. We live in constant wonder. But to be honest, I can't answer that any better.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm saying, I'm just putting a mirror image of another institution, and I'm sure it must be, this question which I've now put must be really, you know, it must be questioning the people as to how do they explain that. Therefore, there is an anomalous arithmetic which has to correct itself.
Other than recognizing and observing and accepting, I have no offer. If any of our colleagues do, otherwise we should move to the next question.
Okay, just one question. Now, secondly, I just wanted to say there's an Economic Times write-up, in fact, on Thursday only when this mishap occurred. South India Bank is now upping its stake for one regional Grameen rural microfinance company. So could you please throw some light on that, sir? I know it is a little digressing from the calamity, but if you could, that would also really enhance our understanding of the bank and its future prospects.
Sorry, I have nothing to offer on that as input. And from our side, like I mentioned in our last call, we are continuously looking out, but it has to be accretive, and there is no progress to update from Federal Bank side. Some of our other bank partners, if they're doing it, I would rather they answer. I have no idea. So I'd move to the next question. Operator?
Thank you. Yeah. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Kochar from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Mr. Kochar, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with the question. It seems there is no response on the line. We'll move to the next question. That is on the line of Payal Pandya from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. It's really nice that most of our branches are fully functional now, but would you be able to throw some light on how deposit growth are expected to be in the wake of the fact that a lot of money would be required by the borrowers as well, not the borrowers but the customers, for you know, sorting out their collateral damage and things like that. So do we see a deposit growth coming in that front, and also do we envisage any major NPA threat here?
On deposit growth, the proxy for that is what I can answer. We expect remittances to increase quite materially. We think it could go up as much as 30-odd%, 30-40%. And invariably, when remittances go up, a tail of it stays back as deposits. So we may not see any slack off in deposit growth. In the nature of deposit growth may change, we will see that. Certainly, we are looking at various ways to compensate if there is any slack in Kerala. The rest of the bank picks it up. On the NPA point, I already mentioned that there may be some near-term increase in slippages in certain pockets, and that's what the numbers we had already shared. So outside of that, nothing larger. And the bank's footprint being much wider and the business growth being much higher in geographies beyond this state, we don't visualize any percentage reduction in growth or otherwise.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Roshan Chutke from ICICI Prudential AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Cham, just a quick question on how you arrived with the estimate of 20% and how does it reconcile with the fact that you have 15 crore of reasonable stress book in those affected districts?
Sorry, question didn't come through. Kindly repeat, please. Sorry.
Yeah, sure. You have this 1500 crore, approximately 1500 crore of stress exposure, probably stress exposure in the severely affected districts, right? Now, how does that tie in with your estimate of 20% higher slippages on the SME retail agri book?
Oh yeah. No, as like I said, we did some early sensitivity analysis based on the nature of the clients and whether they were past defaulters who have always been on the periphery. Like I said, these are all assumptions, right? The actuals will vary. There is no scientific modeling based on some people who have looked at the data and applied their application. That's why I said in the October results call is when we can give a more nuanced input on this.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Mangesh Kulkarni from Almonds Global Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to recheck on the numbers. You have said about slippage, average slippages are in the range of around 170 crores from these regions or 70 crores?
No, I said 160 to 180 crores is the slippage from Kerala in the bank for an average for the last 8 quarters.
Right.
Across all the 3 businesses, non-corporate.
Right. And out of that, about 20% is likely to rise because of...
20-25% increase in the near term over the next 2 to 3 quarters. That may be the situation. We will certainly review it closer and the intensity will increase. This is just an early input and for sure that's the focus of the bank in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Kumar from Infinity Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. And sir, you mentioned that most of the book is secured for the MSME retail. Can you give us a sense whether it will be 80%, 90%, or maybe closer to or more than 95% of the retail MSME and that retail and the MSME books?
Sure. Out of the 24,000 crores, the in credit in Kerala, 10,000 crores is retail, about 5,600 crores is agri, and about 9,000 crores is SME. Our retail book is 95% secured. Our agri book is secured by gold, insurance and property 100%, and our SME book is about 75% secure.
Okay. Thanks a lot and hope for a quick recovery for everyone involved.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Maheshwari from TCG AMC. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I just wanted to, in past, any such event has occurred during the history that has led to such slippages, and what were the slippages and growth that we had witnessed during that time? So just to get a sense that, and how was the growth panned out once such kind of event had occurred in any of the states where your major presence was there, leaving apart Kerala, sir?
In the banks, at least in my time in the bank, now fairly long, we haven't faced any such instance. In the history of Kerala, I'm told the last time a flood of this nature was 1929, therefore 1924. So there's really no immediate data point to reflect. But we have done our own back of the envelope when we look at a Bhuj tragedy, Latur tragedy, the 2611 events like that, or the JNK events. That's what we have looked at to understand what may be the issues. But the level of intensity of this is quite unprecedented. We have not encountered any of this nature.
Just to take further, last year there was a Chennai flood. So though your presence in Tamil Nadu is less as compared to Kerala, but what kind of impact did you witness?
Almost non-existent. Impact was very marginal. I think the Chennai flood is distinctly different from this or any of the event is, for this was statewide, that was very localized to one city, and that was more damage to specific parts of the city. This had an entire river which is about 300 kilometers on its journey leaving trail across.
In your entire 30,000 crore Kerala based book, can you give the segments performance, not in specific in terms of retail SME, but segments like rubber, cashew, spices, and the SME trader segment, automobile segment, any kind of things which you are witnessing in that, it would be helpful.
The top sectors of business in Kerala out of this 24,000 crores is naturally the trade related is about 4,000 crores. Infrastructure is about 2,500 crores. Construction is about 800 crores. Rubber is about 280 crores. Tourism is about 280 crores. And the paper, food, basic metals is about 500 crores. Gems and jewelry is 150 crores. So this will give you a sense of the book. It's fairly widespread. And the sectors that may face issues are relatively smaller in our portfolio, namely rubber and tourism. Combination is 500 crores.
Okay. And what kind of growth which you had told that there would be a huge consumption demand, at least from a housing perspective or goods which would be there. What kind of Kerala as an overall market opportunity do you find in your presence that can give you a pool of good growth in coming quarters, not just subsequent quarters?
I think retail, credit, non-housing, our book is relatively small. It's not in our focus. So we certainly give that attention and focus, so the opportunity increases. Our non-housing book in Kerala, non-housing, non-education, is relatively small, and that's where we see opportunity for growth. So growth percentages may be high, but that's also because we are extending some plans for existing customers.
So in housing, what type of in any specific number, opportunity, just a rough estimate that currently it is
housing has been growing at 20% plus, and that it will continue to grow.
But due to this event, will the growth would be very substantially high, or you would be safe, cautious?
I think here the housing loan growth is less going to be affected. House renovation is what will get focused.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, if there are no other questions, operator, are there?
Yes, we just have one last question. That is from the line of Gaurav Kochar from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
I think his line had dropped earlier, I think. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thank you for taking my question. I just had one question. What portion of the affected book will be eligible for dispensation?
At this juncture, the entire agri book has got the dispensation. The regulatory forbearance is there. As the central government has declared Kerala as a severe calamity, and that automatically triggers in a certain set of initiatives. And SLBC has already got applied that, and tonight the SLBC minutes will come out. So agri will get all the forbearance as per the approved criteria.
Right.
Retail and the small businesses, the request is going to RBI. We don't know the consequences yet.
Okay. And what would be the form of dispensation? Will it be restructuring of the interest and principal into term loans, or will it be extension?
The agri is principal moratorium, interest moratorium for 1 year and principal repayment over 5 years.
Okay. Sure. Thank you, sir.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Girish Raj from Quest Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, thanks. Any estimate on the cost to restore all this devastation that has happened in terms of cost to income that we will have to?
Yes, thankfully. Yeah, good question. Our early estimates are that roughly between 8 to 10 crores will be the expenses need to be incurred for entire bring back to BAU or even better in all the affected areas in one form or the other.
This will be taken in the second quarter, right?
I mean, no, it will not all be in second quarter because it will be extended over because these are all capital expenses. So it's not a P&L hit.
Okay. Second question is, we had slippage estimate of 1200 to 1300 crore, and you have given some estimate related to Kerala exposure, which will be over and above. So maximum it can go up by 120 to 130 crore, right? Over and above 1200 to 1300 crore?
Yes, sir. 1200 to 1300. We can express in our at this juncture the number you mentioned, but when we come in for our Q2 call, we'll give a more defined expected outcome.
That's all. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nilanjan Karfa from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, Shyam. I have two questions. In your opening comments, you mentioned about your data center, and I kind of missed it. Was it affected also, or is it safe?
Yes, our data center is in the Aluva head office area. Overnight, that area flooded up to the first floor. So the data center had to be literally powered off for the first time in its history. Our DR site is in Bangalore. That picked up the entire load. But the telecommunications here breaking down did cause some disruption. But mercifully, on Saturday evening, we brought the data center back, and today it's fully functioning.
So basically, no impact and no data loss of any sort?
No data loss, but we did suffer some client disruption for 24 hours. Erratic it was.
Right. Okay, that's good to know. And when we talk of this, this forbearance which automatically comes in case of calamity, I believe it is on a district-wise basis, not an entire state. Is that understanding correct?
In Kerala, unfortunately, all 14 districts have had some impact of this.
Okay, so the entire agri exposure in Kerala is getting the benefit.
Agri exposure of the state is largely in three territories. Alappi, Kuttanad, Wayanad, these are the Idukki, because these are the most impacted parts also.
Okay. So other than agri, sorry, what happens from the SME side? I believe that's a bank-to-bank...
So there is no formal announcement by regulator. There is a request from the bankers, but that we will know only later.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you so much, Shyam, and wish you all good luck. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishan Shah from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. One question, like, we talk about RBI forbearances and everything, so understood we get some recognition forbearance, like, you know, we don't recognize them as NPLs for a while or something. But ultimately, what is the on-ground impact? Do these SMEs or do these retail customers who get affected, are they able to then repay and come on stream? Because we've seen, like, during demonetization or GST, RBI did give forbearances, but ultimately these did end up becoming write-offs and provisioning hits had to be taken. So any thought or any color that you can put here, like what the on-ground situation is likely to be like and how much we can suffer or otherwise?
I have to be honest, we wouldn't know that because there is no way of measuring it. We all know that people are fighting hard to come back and restore life, livelihood. We must see at least 2 months of how people are sort of coming back. And what is the cash flow situation? So at this point in time, I can't quite comment, but for sure, there will be some support required for people.
Fair enough. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Shiva Subramaniam. As an individual investor, please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Hello, sir. Good evening. Sir, actually, my question is the cost of restoration. You said it would be it will take some cost to restore the fixed asset, or the fixed assets adequately insured. That is the first question.
Yes, sir. The insurable ones are, but furniture and fixtures are unlikely to be insured to that level. A care of 50,000 rupees, we would not have insured. Fully insured. I withdraw my statement. All my colleagues are saying fully insured.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Then one more thing is the additional stress assets out of Kerala would be around 160, 170 crores you were mentioning. Is there any positive impact on the numbers that you are mentioning because of additional demand or increased deposit, is it measured, something which you have measured in addition to that?
So we are visualizing substantial requirement for retail credit and increase. And over the next 2 quarters, that will be playing through. That's why we said we are not altering our credit forecast in any form. Deposit growth, remittance growth will be higher. How much gets into deposits, we'll have to see.
Okay, fine. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sohil Kalayat from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, sir. Sir, I assume that you have said 9,000 crores of SME book. So can you actually mention two or three large district where a SME book generates from? Second, in terms of security, you mentioned that's 95% secured. So what is the kind of a collateral that we would be having on those? And thirdly, final, in terms of dispensation, in terms of asset classification that the RBI had given, in terms of GST SME and non-GST SME, had we used it in the past and can we use it in the future as well?
Okay. Firstly, the SME book I mentioned in Kerala is about 8,800 crores. Ernakulam zone is about 4,000 crores, out of which the largest one is Ernakulam as a city, and that's 1,250 crores. Kozhikode is about 1,600 crores. Kottayam is about 1,200 crores. And Trivandrum is about 2,500 crores. So this is broadly the SME book in Kerala.
Okay.
Have we used the dispensation? Yes, we had used the SME dispensation for roughly about 35-40 crores.
Okay.
And I missed the other question of yours. If you remind me, I'll...
So in terms of, can we actually use the dispensation going forward as well?
The one that is applicable till December.
Okay, okay. So if basically there is an overdue situation, will it fall under the ambit of the RBI classification norms? So suppose a loan is overdue in October or November.
Whatever the earlier clauses still apply.
Okay. And so finally, in terms of security, you said the 95% book of SME is secured. So what is the kind of a collateral that we would be holding on that?
I said retail is 95, agri is 100, SME is about 75%, largely property related collateral.
Okay, okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity. Rohan here. Sir, just most of the questions are answered. Just one thing I wanted to understand. If the tourism in Kerala slows down for, say, next 3 to 4 months, there is a direct portfolio that will have an impact, but indirectly, if the income levels are impacted, what could be the impact on portfolio, if you could share some insights on that?
No, I think tourism, about 2 years back when the liquor policy changed, saw some massive come down, and we are extrapolating a similar situation may happen because liquor policy of the state was restrictive and people, tourist arrivals fell substantially. This time you add to it two more things. The liquor policy is now okay, but the Kerala main airport, Cochin, is operational only from 26. Thankfully, the alternate airport has already started operation. First commercial flight landed yesterday. And they have restored that. And the two affected areas of Munnar, Vayanad and Shabarimala, which are big tourist attraction, I think Shabarimala will come back in full form by next month. Vayanad and Alappi, which are the other big tourism attraction, Munnar, Vayanad, that may take one or two more quarters. So you would see some hoteliers facing thing. I told you our credit exposure in hotel is about 280 crores.
And the transport operators, vehicles, that in general, at an economy level, you don't think that other than this portfolio of 280 crores, there will be much of an impact? Because of the income getting impacted of other people who are indirectly associated with tourism.
Like I said at the top of the call, we can't ignore it or pretend like it's a non-issue. But the good news is that we believe that the dimensions of the problem are more manageable. And we have solutions for most of it. And we have to face the consequences of the other thing. We only wanted to alert that the extreme views that people have taken, we wanted to just clarify through this call. And I hope we have been able to do that successfully.
And sir, just culturally, like when people save in gold, do they keep it with them at home or do they deposit it in lockers? In case you could share something on that.
I don't have an answer on that. I think it's very personal.
Especially culturally, like what is the behavior generally that is seen in Kerala? Just trying to understand because in case if it's saved at home, then would there be a loss of the savings in which were there in form of gold? Just to get a sense on that.
Not much I could answer on that. I think it would be, we won't have a
trend.
Very personal thing.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shripad Aute from Smart Investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So one just want to confirm one thing. You said whatever property got damaged, those are fully insured, right?
Yes.
And despite that, you said 8 to 10 crore additional, you know, the cost is required to restore.
Yes.
Okay. And so just one more thing, just to, sorry to bother you, sir. Can you just give me the breakup of the credit, I mean the Kerala book?
Means the size of the book?
Yeah, yeah.
24,486 crores is the Kerala SME Retail Agri.
Mm-hmm.
And SME is 8,800 crores, Agri is 5,600 crores, and Retail is 10,000 odd crores.
Okay. And non-retail, sir? Corporate and government?
6,000.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I think, Sakata, we should bring this to a
close.
Let me just thank everybody for dialing in at short notice. Let me just remind ourselves, we did this to give an update on Kerala. We wanted to make sure that the information is equally shared across all our stakeholders, and we hope we've been able to address. We haven't made any forward-looking statement. We have given guidance based on our assumptions of the situation, and a more constructive input we'll give in the October call after we do Q2 results. And thank you very much, everybody, for dialing in. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Federal, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.